God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let me give you the bad news. Each day that you wake up is a day that you're getting older. Now, I will admit, this is probably nothing new to you. Most of you have experienced this before. You have come to the realization that each day you are getting a day older. Now, I will admit there's a little bit of a difference. Like my daughters, they actually look forward to their birthdays, in which they get presents. Unlike their dad, who really doesn't get presents, I'm not necessarily looking forward to my next birthday. It's the ripe old age of 45. I know, for some of you, you're thinking, wow, I wish I was that young. And I look at it going, yes, each and every day, I am just getting a little bit older, whether I want to admit it or not. Actually, in reality, the number game really doesn't bother me too much. It's, you know, during the spring humid weather, where it sometimes just gets to those knees. Or maybe it's the back. Or maybe it's the head or the back of the neck. I'm finding out that certain body parts hurt that didn't hurt when I was younger. So each day, yes, we're getting a little bit older, and that may mean a few more aches and pains. So getting older is not necessarily always pleasant. But as the cliche joke says, it beats the alternative. Okay, maybe not. This is supposed to be a Christian sermon, so I guess it doesn't beat the alternative. The alternative is being with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with that spiritual glorified body. Amen. Okay, but while we're still on this side of heaven, let's just face it, we are getting a little bit older. And whether we like it or not, it's a fact, so we need to prepare ourselves for it. But as we travel day to day on this road of life, encountering the various potholes and frustrations and discouragements, and yes, even tears, it would be nice if God would give us a little bit of a warning ahead of time that would say, oh, by the way, next week is going to be a real doozy of a week. But we have to realize, as we learn to face life, there's always going to be obstacles that occur in our life. You also have the promise of God, not necessarily as a warning, but as a deliverance. The promise of God that says that after all the difficulties of life are finished, God's gift of repentance and forgiveness will be restored to you completely in paradise. So today's text, as it may have been a little surprising to hear from 2 Corinthians, you know, basically says, in the end, everything will be great. And so will that give you the encouragement you need to make it through the present? So Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, and you can almost get the idea in the back of our mind that Paul understood about the aches and the pains. He understood about the trials and tribulations in this life. He understands that the golden years may not be really that golden. But he continues in his encouragement, even though the outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. And so can we take comfort in that word of God that says God is going to give you that strength. That strength is going to be within. As we may have to pop a few more pills as we get older to deal with the outer parts of the body. Paul continues and says, for the slight momentary affliction. Now, I will admit, I sometimes sit there and think, some of these afflictions are more than momentary. So what is Paul thinking about? He's really comparing it throughout time and eternity. If you think of eternal life lasting forever, our days here on earth are just a moment. So can we hang in there for just a moment, knowing that we are being prepared for eternity? And so that's the question. And so for the basis of this message, we're going to go back in time for a moment, back to where all our troubles began. You're not going to be able to blame parents. You're not going to be able to blame teachers or siblings. We're going to go back actually to Adam and Eve. When they first disobeyed God and they were ejected out of the Garden of Eden, they were ejected out of paradise, where there was no pain and no trouble. Things were perfect. But as they were ejected out of paradise because of their rebellion, their disobedience to God, they were not rejected or ejected out without a promise. There was a promise for paradise to be restored again. Now think for a moment. Someone who had paradise, complete paradise, and then losing it. Humor me for a moment. For those of you who are adults, maybe above the age of 25, and the realities of this world are beginning to weigh upon you, think, what was it like when you were a little kid and you had no responsibilities? And, you know, you just could play all day. And you're thinking, wow, isn't that great? And you're thinking, boy, I wish I could go back to those times. But if you ask the kids, they sit there and say, I can't wait to grow up. And you try to tell the kids, wait a minute, you got paradise now. You just don't realize it. It's not until you're older then you realize you have paradise lost. I think that's also part of our struggle as adults. We realize what we had and we lost it and going, and we didn't even appreciate it. But God says, don't worry. You will appreciate it. You will have that paradise restored when you get to eternal life. Well, you will have that spiritual glorified body. You will be at perfect peace with God, and there will be paradise. It's going to come in God's time, not our time. I know it'd be nice to have that time and have that time now, but we have to trust in God's wisdom. So getting back to our theme for the day, yes, Adam and Eve, they were the ones that started this mess. And we have inherited that mess through our spiritual DNA that they have passed on to us. Paul says this in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Yes, it was because of Adam and Eve's disobedience that they were removed from paradise, and they lost it, but not without the promise that it would be restored. Until that time, however, their life would be filled with challenges and with tears. And because, in one essence, they have passed that spiritual DNA onto us, our lives will be participating with Adam and Eve, will also be filled with tears. Martin Luther notes, and let me quote, he says, despite what we know and see, therefore, we live in a darkness worse than that which covered Egypt. Although everything on all sides warns us of God's wrath and all but forces it into our very eyes, we still ignore it and embrace this life as our only delight. Just as the sins increase, therefore the smugness grows too, and people become insensible and hardened toward their misfortunes. Martin Luther is right. We only know this life. And sometimes we get so attached to it, even though it is filled with pain and sorrow. For tonight, I want you to think about that paradise. Will that give you the strength, knowing that God's promise for Adam and Eve also extends for you? Even though we now live in this darkness, Because of the punishment of the disobedience that we share with Adam and Eve, we will face many trials, many challenges in this life. But can we not be comforted with the good news that just as our Heavenly Father did not kick Adam and Eve out all alone, but with a promise of God, we too have the same promise. The same promise of God, that God will be with us. Notice what happened in Genesis chapter 3. First, God declared a curse, not on Adam and Eve because of their rebellion, but upon the devil, and promised Satan's total defeat. Second, well, God did promise, or pointed out, the punishment of disobedience upon Adam and Eve and on us. God promised that even in the midst of this curse, however, there is a Savior. A Savior who would crush the head of the devil, save Adam and Eve from their sin, and give them the light in the darkness of this cruel world. But this promise, the good news, was not only for Adam and Eve, but also for all of us. Through Isaiah, God promised, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." And Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Nowhere in Scripture does it say that you are going to have the perfect, trouble-free life. No, in Scripture it does describe that there will be pains, there will be trials, but not without hope. Our hope is in Christ as the light of the world. And as that light of the world, Jesus has a practical day-to-day message for each of us to comfort us. As we struggle to understand why we face the daily challenges, trials, and temptations, we need to consider our life each day almost sort of like having a sore ankle, traveling down a dark, lonely road in total darkness. And I don't know if you've ever been in total darkness. It's kind of hard in an urban area. But if you've ever been out in the country at night, with only the moon and the stars, it gets really dark. And you don't want to be wandering around without a flashlight, because there are holes, thorns, thistles, and other things that might trip us up and create pain. And in the midst of those travels, which does resemble our life very much, God says, "I will shine into your dark world. I will shine and lead you and draw you to myself." Jesus says similar words in John chapter 12, verse 32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." How does Christ draw us to him? Through the light of his word and his sacraments. So as we gather around his word and sacraments, it is that beacon, it is that guide, it is that source of comfort we need daily in our lives. Therefore, Paul does write to the Corinthians and to us not to lose heart. Even though we may be hurt, we may fall into the pits of life, even though our own bodies are sort of wasting away on us. God renews through that word and sacrament that spirit within us. So even though we might be facing a whole bunch of terrible afflictions of this life, will not the promise of God being with us always and the promise of eternal life give you enough to see you through whatever this world dishes out? And so while we feel the aches and the pains, we have to notice what Christ is doing on the inside. Christ through his word and sacrament. And yes, the outer nature of ourselves eventually will waste away. Job describes it, "Though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Can we also have that same faith? Even though Job didn't necessarily have the Old and New Testament, he understood the promise of God, that even though the outside is falling apart, the inside will see us through. It is God's promise. So we are renewed on the inside, not on the outside. I'm not going to talk about Christians being this superhero, so to speak, because our job was not to conquer the world. That was Christ's job. As he conquered sin, death, and the devil upon his trip to the cross, when he died for the forgiveness of our sins, even Christ's own body suffered and died. But Christ does not leave us there. He says, if you believe and trust in me, you have eternal life. Yes, the road around us is filled with many pains. And we should also know that, especially living in the Chicagoland area, that the road around us is also filled with many pains. How many potholes did you have to go over on your way here to church? And besides, in Chicagoland, we know there are just two seasons, winter and road construction, both of which frustrate the driver. So this day, we know that life may frustrate us, but God is still working through his word to renew us, to continue to call us to follow him, to draw us to follow him. So that as we travel along the road of life, let's not get focused upon the thorns and the thistles, the potholes in our lives. These cause us great pain, and they cannot destroy us. We need to look up, look to the cross of Christ and him crucified, fix our eyes on Christ, who is the light of the world. And as Christ's light draws us to God's eternal life that he provides for us, into the mansion that he has prepared for each and every one of us, let that promise continue to settle your soul and your heart when the body slowly gives way. So in the midst of sin, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of frustration, in the midst of experiencing many hardships in this world, we go back to God's word and sacrament as he settles our heart and soul, as we continue to place our trust in him. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.